Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us commence our meeting this morning by the singing of hymn number 234. Hymn 234. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. In deeper reverence praise. Hymn 234. Let us now sing hymn number 57. Hymn number 57. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Hymn number 57. Brother Phil, to give us the word of exhortation.
Good morning, my dear brethren and sisters. This morning we're going to talk of the hope that was given to Israel and to ourselves through the Holy Scriptures. And we're going to see in particular what the prophet Jeremiah had to say in that direction to help us and to guide us. We have read of the Lord Jesus this morning, and we have read of the faithful prophet John the Baptist and what happened to him because of his faith. And all the things that we read all together, they strengthen and encourage us as we wait for the Lord Jesus. And in the reading from Jeremiah chapter 3, we read the words, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance to your fathers." Well, of course, that is the hope which they look forward to when they came back from Babylon, to which some of them had been taken captive. And also we rejoice in this hope because when they are blessed, the scriptures tell us, we also shall be blessed likewise. And so our thoughts are to concentrate on the word and the comfort that we can get from it as we read its pages. Now the Apostle Paul wrote some words that are loved by us all. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So every time we reopen the Bible, we strengthen our faith and hope in God and in his purpose, as we've just read about the hope of Israel. We learn of God's ways. So we are to explore this theme together for a while. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle says concerning Israel's history, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. This is the reason why we should read the scriptures, to help us to avoid the evil and choose the good." And Paul also said, "Now all these things happened to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition or instruction, upon whom the ends of the world or the age are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, we have no excuse as we stand before God to say that we didn't know what was right and what was wrong and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. To counter this danger of falling, let us listen to Paul again. And that knowing the time is now, and knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. So God again has provided for us. The wonder of the scriptures is that the words spoken so long ago to the prophets or to the apostles or to those in the days of the apostle Paul, although they were spoken so long ago in different ages, they are just as relevant today. It is also relevant that just as in the past, we should listen carefully to the message which is given to us. So then we listen to some other words of the Apostle Paul, and he is talking about our hope in Israel. Let us turn to Romans chapter 11 and see what he has to tell us. Romans chapter 11, verses 19 to 22. And again, these words are telling us of the contrast between those who obey God and those who do not. Romans 11, verse 19 to 22. And thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, or in other words, have great respect. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. And we must never lose sight of that fact, brethren and sisters. And then he says, on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And so then, it is our wisdom to listen to the scriptures. We know where we stand before God. Now these thoughts take us to the time of Jeremiah the prophet and priest, and one in one of those troubled periods of Israel's history. Remember, these things are written for our learning. We think of Jeremiah 29 at the time of the exile. Jeremiah sent a letter to those who were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar from Jerusalem to Babylon with Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Also, we believe that Ezekiel, the prophet, was one of those who was taken at that time, that time period, along with Daniel, although we understand that there was a number of years between the time that they were actually taken into Babylon. Jerusalem was besieged and fell with great suffering. Some were taken captives and others were left in Jerusalem. But Jeremiah stayed in the broken city. Zedekiah was made king under oath not to be disloyal to Babylon, otherwise he would be put to death. A letter that Jeremiah sent said that God had caused the exile to Babylon. They were told to settle there peaceably for 70 years. Then God would cause the captives to return in peace to Jerusalem and to the land again. This was to demonstrate that he was in control and God demanded their obedience, as he demands ours. This prefigured God's ultimate purpose to bless Israel. He will bring them not only from Babylon, but then from the north, south, east and west into the land promised to them. A land that at this very moment is again in the news through war and conflict. And he will bring them according to the promises made to Abraham to the land. But many false prophets arose to deny Jeremiah's predictions from God and to deny that Babylon would destroy Jerusalem and those not in exile who dwelt there. This would happen if they rebelled against Babylon and sought self-rule. But both came to pass. 70 years were fulfilled in exile and Israel returned to the land. Also, the temple and Jerusalem was destroyed because of the inhabitants who dwelt there rebelled against God and against Babylon. God's word never fails. Behold then his goodness and his severity. Those in exile never forgot their land or Jerusalem. And we can think of those words of feeling which were given in Psalm 137, where we remember those words, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required us of us a song, and they that wasted us required us of mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chiefest joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundations thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones." Words perhaps hard for us to take, but nevertheless, it shows the goodness and the severity of God in his word. And it also shows us the mind and the longing of Israel for the land that they had been taken captive from. So here we see the longing of God's word, of God's people, also given by such as Jeremiah and the prophets, and the bitterness which is against Babylon. All those who rebel would be punished. Let us look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and read some words that that prophet has to say to us. The point is, what we're trying to get at is that we've got to look at God in all his aspects and all his ways. Most of all, to love him as he has loved us. Jeremiah 29, verses 30 to 32, says to us, "Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, Send to all them of the captivity, saying, Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nethinite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah and the Nethinite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord. Because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord." So he was an evil man who taught rebellion against the Lord and against his word. Keep your finger in 29, because we're going to refer to it again. In contrast, those who, like Obed-Edom, who dwelt in Jerusalem with Jeremiah, will be blessed. For example, Jeremiah chapter 39 says to us concerning this man Obed-Edom. You remember he was the one that went to Zedekiah and requested that Jeremiah be released from that terrible dungeon because he didn't deserve to be there, and he pleaded with the king, and the king listened to him. And so in the 39th chapter, verse 16 to 18, we read of blessings. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given to the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. And I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee. Note this, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. So then, here is a contrast for us to think about. Those who rebel against the Lord shall be punished, but those who trust in him will be blessed. And that's a message which is given to us right throughout the scriptures. And yet above it all, there is the overriding love of God to forgive us where we do fail and to help us to love him more and to serve him better. Speaking of trust, we read some beautiful words given at first to Israel, yet for us. And we turn again to that 29th chapter, and I think these words are some of the most beautiful in the scripture, and they surely encourage our hearts and minds. Jeremiah 29 again, and verses 10 to 14. And just think how wonderful these words are. Jeremiah 29, verse 10 to 14. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. That was the word given to Israel then. But then these words apply to us all. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And then we return to the hope of Israel again. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be taken, carried away captive. This then is the hope of Israel, and it's also our hope, brethren and sisters, to know that if we seek for God, we will find him. So what can we say then to such things? We can surely bow our head and worship our God, who has loved us so much, and although we didn't deserve it. Sometimes we find difficulty in comprehending God's ways, but here we are, as a hymn says, lost in wonder, love, and praise. How do we know we can take such things given to Israel to ourselves? As Gentiles, we have not been promised the land of Canaan as our particular inheritance, but we have been promised to be partakers of the blessings of all nations when Israel is blessed, as in the promises to Abraham. And we surely remember those wonderful words in Ephesians where we are told that we were at one time Gentiles without hope. But now, through Jesus, we have hope, and Jew and Gentile have been reconciled together through the work of Jesus and are all together to be part of that wonderful spiritual temple in the future, which is based upon the hope and work of the prophets of old and of the disciples and above all of Jesus himself. And also in the first of Peter we remember the words, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar or special people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And Galatians 3:7 says, Know ye therefore that they which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So all doubts about our position have been dispelled. We belong to the hope of Israel, to the hope of being blessed in that promised seed, the Lord Jesus, who shall gather us together, Jew and Gentile, in one. We belong to the hope of Israel, and we are the seed of Isaac, the children of promise. And how wonderful, brethren and sisters, do we believe it? It is beautiful to read, but in the realities of life, do we still hold firm to that which is written? We recall to mind Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know the record well. The idea was to turn the hearts of the people to God, that they might believe in him. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back to thee again. So we see, while we've got to seek God, and this is so wonderful, it seems as though God is seeking us as well. The burnt sacrifice was accepted by fire from above, and the people turned to God. The words from Mendelssohn's Elijah say, If with all your heart ye truly seek him, ye shall ever surely find him. And this is the theme of our exhortation now. It is the theme of the words of Jeremiah to Israel in that 29th chapter at the time of the exile. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of thee. But it seemed as though we've got to do the searching, and God is there for us. These are the words written to you and me. Ye shall find me when ye search for me. Whether in sorrow or in joy, happiness or despair, in hours of loneliness, God is there for us if we for our part look for him. It is not always easy to do this when dark clouds cover the sky, yet his hand is stretched out there for us if we will take it. This is the aspect of God we should always search for, even when we do not understand everything about him, because we are but dust. Yes, God is so great we don't fully understand him, but we know enough about him by the things that are around us and his love towards us in calling us to his kingdom, that he is a God of mercy and love to each and every one of us. Besides this, there is little help from man. And Jeremiah chapter 17, no need to turn to it, has some very strong words for us, and they're so wonderful. Jeremiah 17 says to us, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we wonder at our own hearts sometimes, brethren and sisters. And then he says, I, the Lord, search the heart I tried the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. These words are all about trust, what to trust in and what not to trust in. Let us then search for God and we will find him. We have that absolute assurance that God is there for him if we truly seek him. And an incident in Israel's history tells us this theme again. We read, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. What great encouragement this is for us. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out or to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. The nation and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And here's the exhortation: "Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." So if we do good, God will reward us. What a wonderful God that we have. He won't let us down, and he'll reward us. He's doing everything for us. He just wants us to seek him and to love him and to obey him. Although, of course, we recognise that it isn't always easy for any of us. These words were not written just to fill a space. They are written for our learning as well as for Israel. They follow our theme of searching or seeking for God, and we shall find him in the scriptures by the events that we have read of. And God will reward us for so doing. There's no doubt about that. The doubt is perhaps with us. Jeremiah himself shall find redemption because he searched for God and turned to God. The words from And Jeremiah himself shall find redemption because he searched for God and found him. Jeremiah was told to purchase a field in Anathoth in Jerusalem, where he came from, which was his inheritance. The evidences of purchase and witness of this field were sealed in an earthenware vessel to be preserved for many days. Although the land was to suffer many wars, yet in the future, even after the return of the exile, Jeremiah will claim his lot in the land of Israel, and men shall claim their inheritance, and the land shall rejoice. Isn't that a wonderful and yet sublime picture of what Jeremiah trusted in, and many others with him? This was Jeremiah's hope, the hope of Israel. Only through Jesus Christ can he be raised from the dead to claim his inheritance. We share the same hope, for the hope of the future is in the fact that all nations of the earth will be blessed in the promised seed. All nations, Jew, Gentile, and bringing it local to each one of us. We recall these things made possible in the bread and the wine which we now partake of. And we're going to read again some words from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29 again, which we have read earlier on. And I just hope that you will forgive me for reading them again, because they are so wonderful for us to take with us as we remember Jesus. Again, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. And these readings are so wonderful because they are a treasure to to each one of us, and we will close our thoughts with these words. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye search for me with all your heart. So let us do just that, brethren and sisters.
Let us now sing hymn number 295, hymn 295. Most glorious things are spoken, Jerusalem, of thee, to all God's saints the token of love and liberty. Who shall thy hill ascending, from pain and sorrow free, from sin and death's contending, the living glory be? Hymn 295. So to conclude, we will sing Anthem 4, after which Brother David Cross will give us the final prayer. Anthem 4. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be with thee. Anthem 4.
you.